Blog Talk Radio.
Life, growth, and wellness.
Tonight. So thank you for being a part of this event, and I'm so excited you chose to join in today. So let's get this party started. And you know, there are always some things that you got to take care of before you invite people into the partake. So one of the things we do here on Life, Love, and Wellness is we get ourselves anchored in affirmative mindsets or affirmative readings. And today's message is called Harmony. And it's from my daily inspirational messages that you can find at revsandy.wordpress.com. They're posted every day. And again, the lesson or the message for today is harmony. I begin each day by listening for the melodic sounds of the birds that call my property their home. I can hear such a vast array of melodies. They are all around together, creating a perfect symphony. Have you ever noticed two strange animals meeting for the first time? There is usually a sense of curiosity and then a romping good time shared. I sit and watch. I find it incredible that the least advanced forms of creation can live in complete harmony. In my backyard are wild rabbits, squirrels, stray cats, and birds. I have never witnessed a struggle or fight with them. They just seem to come and go, allowing the other the freedom to do as they please. How about observing plant growth? The weeds and the beautiful flowers can coexist side by side, growing in the same patch of earth. I choose to allow the simple life forms to teach me how to live. I choose to live in harmony with all others. My way is my way. It is no better or worse than someone else. I do not judge people. I trust we are all doing the best we can at any given time. When we know better, we do better. I choose harmony as the cornerstone of my personal sanctuary. I create and live in harmony. Harmony is music to my ears, to my life. As I encounter people with different views than my own, I stop and listen, eagerly wanting to learn from them. I love the variety of people. I love to see the richness in each culture. I appreciate knowing that we each exist to add beauty to the other. Harmony is a grand opportunity to show gratitude for one's life. I choose to live in harmony today and always. That's our daily message for today. And next, this is the most profound thing that we do in getting prepared for our show. And we invoke and we invite the spirits and the energies of our ancestors to be among us and with us tonight and always, but especially on Tuesday nights. And we have a couple of new ancestors that's been added to the list. Unfortunately, I don't have the names right now, but we do have been advised of a couple more ancestors that's there. So we treasure you. We treasure the gifts of our ancestors that they directly give to us. Ashe, ashe. So it's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. Tonight's show is, we got a couple of different topics going on here too now. Politics in America, or let's talk politics, what's happening after the election. And our special guest is Linda Pace Samuel. She's been with us before. She came and did some education with us last year prior to the election to give us some information. So we're going to kind of touch bases on just to bring you up to par on what we discussed in the past before we get into our new discussion for tonight. So I know you guys are probably like me. I got questions. And Linda is going to take the time to answer them for us and direct this lively conversation. So basically, I'm going to give the show over to her. But you know, audience, you're always, always invited to join in the discussion. And tonight, I know you're probably really wanting to be a part, so don't be shy. And as always, all comments are welcomed and every voice will be heard with complete acceptance and never, never any judgment. So the call-in number, in case you don't know, is 516-531-9819. And by pushing 1 on your dial, that'll let me know you want to speak live on air. So you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And we're going to have some fun tonight as we talk about politics in the United States in 2017. And we have a lot that we have to talk about tonight. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. If you think you're getting set up for tonight, you are. So that's We're a Winner, you know. And I like that one phrase you said, and won't let a feeble mind stand in your way. So I'm just kind of saying that's what he said. I didn't say that, but that's in that part of that music. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. You're welcome to call and chat on air with us if you would like at 516-531-9819, and you would just simply press 1 to let us know you want to speak live on air.
Sandy Rogers Newsreel.
So the CDC has been outed for their false representations on those flu vaccines. And so it says, for this flu season, the CDC estimates the vaccine has failed about 60% of the time to prevent infection with the most prevalent A strain circulating this year. And according to the CDC now, they say about 36,000 Americans die from the from influenza each year. But this includes deaths from both influenza and secondary pneumonia. So when it's separated out, the flu deaths do not number in the tens of thousands as they're trying to scare people into believing. And the high vaccine failure rates plus the low influenza incident does not support the annual flu shot policy. And recent studies link vaccines to mental, emotional disorders. They've been research published as early as, or as late, I guess, as January of this year, found there's a significant relationship between the mercury exposure from the vaccines and the subsequent risk of emotional disturbances based on data obtained from the vaccine safety data link. So it's all we have it. We got it in black and white. And there's other safety hazards with the contaminants in vaccine. Recent research points out another potential vaccine hazard is the metal debris and biological contaminants. Remarkably, the study conducted by researchers in Italy found these kinds of contaminants in every single human vaccine tested. So the bottom line here is to protect your right to be informed, to informed consent, and defend vaccine exemption. With all the uncertainty surrounding the safety and efficacy of vaccines, it's critical to protect your right to make independent health choices and exercise voluntary informed consent to vaccination. It is urgent that everyone in America stand up and fight to protect and expand vaccine informed consent protections in state public health and employment laws. The best way to do this is to get personally involved with your state legislators and educating the leaders in your community. Vaccines are not safe, not safe, not safe. All right, so here we are. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. I thank you for being here, and we're going to get plugged right on in with Ms. Linda Pace Samuel, who's our esteemed guest for the night. Now, as many of you know, she was on our show a couple of times last year. She gave us an overview of the different branches of government and their powers. And so she's going to go through all of that, just kind of bring us up to date on what we covered in the past. And then we're going to get into what's happening in the politics with the new administration and what's happening. Like I said, I got my own questions for her, but I'm going to welcome Linda to the platform. And I know if you guys are as curious as I am as to some of this that you see and hear on the news, Linda will not have enough time to to cover everything tonight. So, Linda, thank you so much for being with us again. I certainly appreciate you taking time to come and talk with us.
Greetings, and thank you again for having me. I've been looking forward to this. We are certainly in some very interesting times politically in this country. So I'm glad that everybody seems to be excited about discussing it, because we really need to take a much more active role in how this government runs, because it affects everybody. So I'm happy that you keep inviting people to jump in with their questions and comments, because, you know, I agree. I would like to keep the conversation as lively as possible. I'm personally still just coming out of the shock that things actually happened like they did. You know, it's just been amazing, you know, the turn of events that have taken place since the election, you know, starting with there's normally a graceful period for, you know, the president-elect to just kind of stand by and, you know, privately get their choices together for the people that they plan to nominate for cabinet positions and that kind of thing. But we saw a different approach this time with the president-elect just trying to just usurp the last few months of President Obama's administration. So that was new, among other things. And before we go any further, I'd just like to give a shout out to my former boss, Congressman Lewis, for standing up to Mr. Trump and taking a leadership position that he has in the Congress. You know, so just a shout out to him for that.
Yay, John!
I don't know. Here we have Ben Carson in charge of HUD. And I just really can't imagine what his first day at work was really like. And I don't know, you probably heard the remarks that he made referring to Black Americans as having been immigrants. And I guess we somehow ended up as slaves. And there are African immigrants in this country now who voluntarily decide to move from Africa to the United States, you know, during this time. But, you know, and he didn't really seem to see anything wrong about what he said either, which is really scary. But at any rate, for those who missed the first couple of broadcasts, the first one, we were kind of talking about the history of political parties in America, and I think it's important to stand that because the Democratic and Republican parties currently control the power, but the Constitution does not even provide for political parties. And, you know, as we discussed, those were not the dominant parties all the time. And the Republican Party was actually created for the purpose of ending slavery. And at the same time, the Democratic Party was holding us enslaved. So it's a very fluid kind of thing, but, you know, I guess in the last 34, you know, our lifetime, it's been the Democratic and Republican parties who have all the power and, you know, control everything politically, and so we've just accepted that as gospel or whatever, but it's only like that because it's been going in that direction and nothing has changed, nothing has happened that has changed that in the past. But with this last couple of presidential elections, we may be at a point where, you know, enough of us see the need to make some real changes in the way that our government is run. And after I got over the shock of Mr. Trump having won the election, and I was trying to figure out something positive to say about it, you know, somewhere I could rest my mind on something that was positive about it. And I think that the main positive thing is that it has shown us as a voters that, you know, it's very important for us to stay plugged in to the process, no matter how we're feeling about it, because otherwise this is what this is what happens. So
exactly.
Just wanted to throw that out there. So the second session that we had, we were talking more about the way the Congress functions and, I guess, what would happen in the event of a Congress, both House and Senate, that were controlled by the Republican Party along with the president, who's also Republican, and with vacancies, or at least one vacancy right now on the Supreme Court that needs to be filled. So we're kind of living out what we talked about in the second time right now, because that has actually happened. Trump is such a wild card that what might have been a slam dunk for the Republican Party, having everybody, you know, all of the Congress, the presidency, and that Supreme Court appointee in Republican hands, it probably won't happen because it's difficult from what I've been able to see to work with him. You know, he changes from one point to the next I'm trying to just stick with things that are that actually have to do with the government and try to stay. I'll leave that to you all. This I'm trying to stay away from some of the wilder things that have been going on, and just try to look at it in terms of what the office of the presidency really should be, and you know what it takes to be successful in that office in terms of getting pushing forth your agenda. So. Because he is so, he appears to be so thin-skinned. It's easy to bait him, and you see that the newspapers, the people are starting to do it a lot. I saw a headline today about the whether or not he had the largest crowd at his inauguration than Obama, and. I forgot which newspaper the article was written by, but the headline said something about, you know, the National Park Service released pictures of the crowd from Obama's inauguration and Trump's, and Obama's is larger. And I thought, oh, my God, as soon as he reads that, he's just going to flip out and just, you know. So
I know.
It's really dangerous.
He is so competitive, yeah.
And it's really,
I'm like you said, I'm trying to keep my comments condensed too, so I'll let you go in.
but for him to be the president, the president in that office, you know, to be so easily baited like that, you know, it's really a concern, I think. But the other thing I wanted to mention is that we need to keep in mind going forward is that all of the members of the House and Senate, well, all of the members of the House are up for reelection in 2018. The midterm elections are coming up. And one-third of the Senate is also up for reelection. So the main thing that we need to focus on in terms of what we can do to play a role in what happens next is that everybody who's up for reelection wants to win above everything else. So once it gets to the point, I'm thinking that, you know, they wanted to be in this position of control for so long that they really are trying to make it work so that everybody's agendas can be met and, you know, everybody can be happy, the Republican Party. But that may prove difficult for a number of reasons, mainly the conduct of the president and the way he's isolating different groups, including the groups who elected him. If they are in a position where in their districts where they are threatened with not winning their elections, they will turn on him in a minute, you know, I'm sure, you know, so that they can save themselves and get reelected. So that's something to keep in mind. And if enough pressure continues to be pushed on the Congress by the citizens, we the people, then it's going to be effective. So, you know, showing up at protests, to protest at town hall meetings, on the holidays, they normally go home. So somewhere around the holiday, they will be in their district. They normally have town hall meetings, so that's a good opportunity to just show up and voice your opinions and stuff, because it really matters. It definitely matters, you know. So I kind of jumped ahead,
an excellent point. Yeah, that's an excellent point that you're sharing, though. You know, as we all, most of us think that, you know, well, the damage is done now, so we got to wait, you know, 4 more years in order to make a difference. But to, you know, to be involved in the elections for next year, and I know there's some elections coming up this year too, but for 2018, and to get that voice out, you know, to get that said, we got a caller, Linda.
Sounds good.
Checking them in. Talk them in.
Okay.
817-308. Give us your name and your comment, please.
Hello, Sandy. This is Art Stone. I'm down here in good old Dallas, Texas. And
hey,
evening
Art.
To your guest. Evening to your guest as well. I can't help but overstand the fact that this is a true story. We were sitting in the bank, at Chase Bank working on a computer, processing a loan. The system went down all over the United States. The system shut down. When that system come back up, returned, Trump is leading the election. I say all that to say this. The Declaration of Independence gave us God-given rights. When that Declaration of Independence went away in 1776, we became citizens because we took part in a constitution. And so it's all about laws now. 13th, 14th, 15th Amendments. And never forget the 13th Amendment says in verb, and I'm missing a couple of words. Slavery is abolished unless you go to jail. So what are you saying, Art Stone? What I'm saying is it doesn't matter the political candidate, the political arena, because Michael Jackson said that this is one of the most prominent and one of the most relevant things I ever heard him say. The last refuge of the incompetence is politics. And the flaming example is who we have there at this point. So I say all that to say this. Don't be so concerned as to how we're electing and who's in that office as opposed to what we're doing as a people. And I'll stop there.
Thank you for your comment. I understand, you know, a lot of what you were saying. I guess I'm talking mainly on the federal political process right now. We kind of touched earlier about the local political process, which is a better point of entry for us to actually affect what happens with our government at the local level. And it's also at the local level where some of the larger things take place, like when they get into redistricting after the census, and actually whoever the actual person who is run as a, to become an elector to officially elect a president is also done at a local level. So I think that would give each of us a lot more opportunity to affect change that we can actually see the results from. You know, we were talking, I think, a few sessions ago about the size of the population, the number of districts, the number of congressional districts in the House. The Senate has two senators from each state, but the House representatives are apportioned according to the state's population. So it makes it very difficult to come to a consensus, you know, with all so many different types of people and so many different groups here. You know, this group has these interests in mind, this group has another interest. So on a national level, it does make it a lot harder to see how we are actually making any impact. But trust me, we really are. We really are. I mean, the mainstream media is controlled by a few. You know, all different outlets are all in the hands of a few, as we all know. But I think we're seeing that the reporters are kind of jumping ship. Because of the way things are right now, with technology being what it is, there are a lot of reputable online news sources. So, you know, they don't have to worry about if they get fired from this paper that they'll never get another job again, because they can, you know, they have their sources and stuff like that. So I think they seem to be just going for it, you know, and just kind of worried about whether they're going to get fired later, you know, because it's just so out of control. But anyway, I said a little bit more. I went on a little bit more than I had planned, but thanks for your comments. So, I don't know if there are any other any other comments that you have, Holden, or you want me to?
No, that's all. You can continue. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What? We talked about the last time, I think, we were talking about the fact that the different political caucuses meet before the House and Senate are officially in session, and they have their, you know, that's when they elect the speaker and the majority leader and so forth and so on in the different caucus meetings. Well, I don't know if you all caught this or not, but the first thing that they did when they met in caucus was to try to get rid of the Ethics Committee, which is the committee that, you know, just kind of the whole politics, the political party thing is doesn't have as much weight as far as that committee is concerned. So it has seen some of the bigger politicians fall in the past for ethics violations. And it's a very thin line between the political candidate and the office holder in terms of the rules of what they are and are not supposed to do. So with a little bit of scrutiny, you can probably find a violation, you know. And I don't know if you the audience remembers Jim Wright. He was the Speaker of the House a few decades ago, and that's what happened with him. He was, you know, Jim Wright, you know, and he was in a seat that he had been winning for I don't know how many years, but there was something that had to do with a book that he had written and some violation that he made of the House rules in connection with the money with the book, and the next thing, you know, he was gone. He was back in Texas. So there are things that we can now do that, you know, David has a lot more power than he used to, you know. So I think the key for getting anything done is going to be for us to realize that we have to look out for each other's interests. You know, like I was saying, we have all these different groups that are represented in different areas of what's called the United States. You have people in Alaska who live in the environment and situation that they live in, you know, with houses, the next nearest neighbor maybe 5 miles or, you know, apart or whatever. Then you have New York City where you're, you know, you might have 5,000 people living in your apartment building, you know. So it's really hard, you know, the needs are different. So it's difficult to and to get anything done if we are all insisting on, you know, our own specific needs. And we're kind of pitted against each other, you know, institutionally, I guess, the way things are set up, you know. On the local level, again, you know, the issues involving school children and the taxes that are needed to fund the schools, you know, a lot of times that's in competition with the senior citizens, you know, and whether or not they have the things that they need, you know, the money, you know, having to be balanced out. But I think what would make us more effective is that if we come together on what our common needs are. And we've been kind of seeing this, and I think this is something that's probably very scary to the people who do control things, because they have been so successful in keeping us apart, making sure that we are apart, you know, and so that we spend all of our time, you know, talking about, you know, something over here that, you know, it just, you know, just takes up our time, but it deflects us from the real issues, you know.
Right.
So I think that's something to keep in mind, too.
Yeah, I believe in that that system that has been created. You know, I call it distraction. So there's always something, you know, to keep your mind away from what's actually going on. And but like you say, what's going on right now is so far just out there in plain view, you know, that with the immaturity and the competitiveness of, you know, wanting to be the biggest and the best, or, you know, having the most people come out to support me and things like that. So.
Yeah, I mean, because what's in place to the point that the gentleman was making, the caller was making, what is in place right now, the way that we're governed is what is in place. So we have to figure out some kind of way to change that. These are, like, you have, I was a political science major. I don't know if I mentioned that ever, but, like, when we were studying different ways of making change in a government, you know, like, you have, like, the legitimate way of the voting process, and that only works if, to the gentleman's point, if the elections are held and they are done honestly, and everybody's vote is counting, and there's no fishy stuff with the power going out, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'm not sure what the irregular activity was in regard to this past election, but I highly suspect that there was something irregular going on. You know, I don't have any proof or anything.
Right.
You know, but
right.
it's what happened, you know, and so, you know, the other way of making a change in the government is the way that's not considered legal in overthrowing the government, or, you know, gathering up arms and just take, and that's happened in the past. It happened in this country, you know, in this country's early history. It just hasn't happened recently, and we've seen it happen in other countries around the world. We have been, we have armed our troops to go to other countries to serve with UN peacekeeping troops or whatever to make sure other people's elections were held in a way that was, you know, legitimate, and, you know, everybody's vote was counted. There was nothing fishy going on, you know. So those are the kind of options that we have. In terms of us as African Americans, this is my opinion, and I've also written books called "Return of the African Diaspora." It's fiction, political fiction, but it's a story about a woman who basically, she gets married in college, she and her husband, and they move to D.C., and they're not equipped for married life, and they get divorced. They're still in love, but they get divorced, and, you know, there's all kinds of drama that they're going through because of that. But she takes a random trip to Africa just to get away from her ex-husband and that drama, and then she finds her life's purpose, which ends up being an extension or revision of Marcus Garvey's Back to Africa movement, and actually goes through the process of moving us back to Africa. I would be certainly in favor of doing that, and that is actually something that I think is quite doable, as I outlined in my book. But aside from that, we are living in this country, so, you know, then we have to consider what our options are, and what I'm thinking is that our options are not as hopeless as some people would have you believe. We have been at the center of the political debate in this country since the beginning. Us as enslaved people, in the way that they determined how votes were going to take place, even the Electoral College, and informing the Articles of Confederation, because we were still enslaved, so they had to figure out how to count us in a way that, you know, would be a compromise, since the South was very wealthy as a result of having free labor that was also reproducing itself, and as a result of using us for collateral for loans, you know, to build all of this stuff, where stuff that a lot of big corporations and organizations that are still existing had their origin in. You know, the Civil War was fought over us, you know, and we lost, the country lost more people in that war than in all of the other wars that the country has fought combined. And we still have great political power, but we don't know that we have it, and so that's what dilutes it. The fact that we don't vote makes it easy for a politician who has limited resources to buy these ads that they need to put in different markets, and you know, when it comes to this area over here where the majority living there is us, then, you know, they feel that they can just skip that and spend their money and their time and their promises and their follow-up someplace else because we don't vote. And so we're kind of like the wild card. You know, we're registered,
right,
but, you know, we may or may not vote, you know. It's something to consider. And one of the things that I have been thinking about for a while, and I don't have any way of doing this, maybe somebody in your audience might have some thoughts on it, but learning how we can form some kind of better alliance with the Hispanic caucus. We have a deep history, especially with Mexico, because during slavery, slaves were welcomed into Mexico after the Civil War, when, you know, the violence was taking place in the South. We were welcomed in Mexico, and there's actually like an Afro-Mexican population that's still in Mexico, you know, so we have that African connection. We also have the connection of, you know, being the downtrodden, you know, but if we could get, if we could come together and find a common bond that we can work on issues together, we would be a serious political force to reckon with. And anybody who ran for president or major office in this country would know that they would have to count us in, you know, because they would need to count. There's a delicate formula for figuring out, you know, the percentage of each of these various groups that the candidate needs to win in order to win the election. And so right now we're not, you know, as they're figuring out how they need to do that, they're not counting us in, but it's only because we've kind of counted. And, you know, I know probably most of the people on the call vote, but when I say we, I mean we as a people. And that's because, you know, it goes with the lack of knowledge about the political process, but also the lack of knowledge about who we really are, you know, so.
That's true. But, you know, something also, Linda, is that what I'm finding in the different arenas that I'm in throughout the week is that people are making statements and references to the fact that because of our the person that's in the office of president now, it's forcing them to a place of action where they may have not felt like using their talents to benefit anyone,
right,
or to be of service to the, you know, to the world and to the community, that they're actually getting up off their hinies and doing something, you know, to really make a difference. So we the good had the bad. Well, I'm not going to say that. So because of the environment that we're now living in, it has actually propelled us to doing something entirely different in a very positive
right
way that
right
we would not have done, think otherwise. So, yeah.
Right, right. In spite of the chaos, I do believe that it's all in divine order. I really do. I really do.
Right.
We're seeing things like I've been seeing, and I should say that I have not been watching this administration unfold like I normally do, because it's just too crazy. Every time you turn on the television,
okay,
it's like, oh my God. So I have to just go away. But I have been seeing, I've seen more, like at the beginning when he was making all those disparaging comments about black people during the campaign, I guess, I've seen more white people, I think, in the street with signs that say Black Lives Matter than black people. When he did that executive order with the immigration ban the first go-round and had those people stranded at the airports and stuff, people came out. Those were not immigrants that came out in support of the immigrants, you know. I mean, I'm sure there were a few immigrants in there, but largely it didn't seem like they were, you know. So we're learning that we need to, you know, take care of each other, you know, and be in it together.
Right.
And that's really, I think, the only way that we're going to win this little fight. Back to Trump, I mean, the president, with the number of things that have been revealed, you know, concerning him. The thing with the Russians, the office of the president, one of the main tasks or whatever responsibilities of the president is to maintain relations with foreign governments. So the fact that he and his affiliates have been having meetings with the Russians in various settings in and of itself is really, I don't think, the bad thing. I'm sure in other elections, you know, as it got down to the wires and, you know, you could see the numbers and think, okay, well, this person's probably going to win. You know, you're kind of lining up your alliances and, you know, you may be having conversations and things like that. I haven't heard anything about arrest warrants in connection with the fact that these meetings were taking place, but it's the fact that there's so much lying and secrecy and stuff about it. It's like, it reminds me of the Watergate break-in. I mean,
right.
And you know, and all the cover-ups and stuff. That's where that came from. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
how Nixon met his demise from, you know, the after effects of that. So I'm personally not even imagining 4 years of Mr. Trump. I'm thinking, you know, that at some point, you know, impeachment from the I don't know if any of you all watched the press conference about I feel so bad for the poor people who live in Trump Towers, the poor rich people who live in Trump Towers whose lives have been completely turned upside down, you know. Can you imagine you live there and you're trying to have your friend come in for drinks or, you know, I can't even imagine it. But anyway, he had a press conference there to discuss the fact of the fact that he was going to have to divest himself of involvement in all of his financial holdings. And he had this table with these stacks of papers to demonstrate, you know, how much stuff that he has and, you know, this and that and the other. And to show you, to my point, that he probably had no idea that he would ever get this far, he made a comment that he had just found out that he wasn't going to be able to be actively involved in all of these businesses as president. okay, you really
yeah, he looked like he was surprised on the next day.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said he looked like he was surprised when they made the announcement that he had won. You know, like a deer that's got caught in the headlights or something.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the actual intent was initially, but I don't see that he thought that he was ever going to win, which is why it's so ludicrous for him to say that President Obama bugged or did wiretapping on his house in I forgot where Trump Towers, I think. Because
he's always
got
something. Yeah. He just always has something. But we're going to take a break. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And tonight we're talking about politics in America. Let's talk politics with Linda Pace Samuel, who in herself has a political background to really help us to understand what we've got going. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Linda and some more on what's happening in our environment. We'll be right back, you guys.
I got something that'll show the future stuff.
All right. Tell me something good, Chaka Khan and Rufus. Cool. Welcome back to Life, Love, Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We thank you for showing up and being a part of the show tonight. So I'm so excited you decided to join in. Our topic today is Let's Talk Politics After the Elections with Linda Pace Samuel. Linda is a former assistant chief of the U.S. House of Representatives Legislative Information. It's the LEGIS, I believe it's L-E-G-I-S office. And she's the former staff assistant to the U.S. Congressman and civil rights icon John Lewis. And so she's coming with all of her knowledge and information and helping us to just have a discussion. So we're not sure how you feel, audience, but, you know, we would love for you to chime in and let us know. So our number here is 516-531-9819. You simply push 1 on your dial. That lets us know you want to speak live on air. So Linda has been, we've been talking about, you know, like, where are we now? And what can we do to affect the change? And, you know, do we feel the change is even necessary and how to go about that? So one of the things that she has brought up is making sure that we get out the vote for the 2018 election and that we all must get out there and put pressure on the politicians, you know, and that will definitely make a difference in how they represent you as a voter in their district. So, Linda, I'll turn it back over to you, and thank you so much again for being here with us tonight.
Thank you for having me, Sandy. The office that I worked in on Capitol Hill, it was LEGIS. We used to call it
LEGIS,
Bill SAC. It's no longer there. It was the computerized office for keeping track of the bills and resolutions that are introduced in Congress. It was initially started to support the members of the House and Senate. This was before computers were and information technology had advanced as much as it has, and that's why the office is no longer there. Right now, instead, they have Congress.gov website that you can log on
right.
to, anybody
okay.
can log on,
right.
and you can find out, you can search for information for your representative, what bills and resolutions they've been signed on to, and I think they have a summary of the bills there, and I think you can find their votes and stuff too. And if you don't know, if you don't have a computer, you can call the switchboard on Capitol Hill and give them your zip code, and then they will tell you who your representative is and connect you. The number is 202-224-3121. And, you know, you can just tell them that you're trying to get in touch with your representative or your senator, and they'll ask you for your zip code and give you the number and the information on how you can reach them, because they are there to serve you. I know it seems like they are there for their own purpose, and that's what they have been doing, but that is not why they are sent to Washington. They are sent to represent you, you know. So back to the ethics committee thing that they were trying to get over and failed at, it was because we the people got wind of it and called and protested and did all kinds of stuff, and so they dropped it. Because if they had passed that, they would really be on then, because there would be nothing to stop them. You know, they could just do whatever they wanted to and wouldn't have to worry about, you know, anybody holding them to task for this or that or the other, you know. So that was a tremendous victory for the people, you know, and it happened so quick. I was really shocked. I don't think it's ever happened anything like that before. We're having a lot of firsts with this new president. So just stay the course.
Yeah. And we got another caller. Let's see if we get him on here real quickly. And caller 770-885, give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment, please.
Good evening, Sandy and guests. I've enjoyed the show thus far. This is Reverend Gloria C. Bennett. I had a couple of questions, and while waiting, I should have written it down because I think I forgot a couple. But let me start with The first thing you gave us, and please, I forgot your name, your guest name for a moment.
Linda.
You just gave a website for us to log into to get information on our area reps. And would you give me that website again, please?
Yes, sure. It's congress.gov, G-O-V.
Oh, That's it? Okay.
And you'll be able to, you know, just negotiate around and find stuff.
Thank you so much. The other thing I wondered, in fact, my mom has talked about it, and I have talked about it a lot. When Trump claims these fake news and or uninviting people to the press conferences that he has, I wonder if you think if the media got together, those that are in there, and he refuses to answer a question, that each media person would ask the same question over and over again. If he skips one, that everybody would have would ask that same question. Do you think we could get perhaps a 90% agreement on that so he'd stop leaving the media out like that? And then the other thing with this current thing that he has going on about Obama, I am just at my last. First of all, probably like many people, I am a faith person, and I hear a lot of my colleagues say, well, God is in control, and yes, God is always in control, to the point that back in David's day when the Israelites were asking for a king like the neighbors, every other one God said, okay, I'll give you. So every other of the 14 were evil. So perhaps we're at that point that, yeah, God is in control and allowed us to have this person. Nevertheless, the big question is that media thing, and I know that's imperative for us to get together, not in 2018, but February 8th, 2017, to start mobilizing for 2018.
I know that's right.
That's my comment. And if there's any agreement, do you have a suggestion on how, say, I might even start that in my community?
Start getting ready for the next election.
Yeah, get my community together. I'm not involved myself in politics other than voting for Obama both times, and you know, really kind of keeping up with what was going on with him.
Right.
I'm just appalled at what's going on now. It's unbelievable, and I know I want to do something, and I know there are other people who want to, but what do we do? I've in fact called John Lewis's office a couple of times, got to speak to a couple of people there who said, well, you're not in the district. And I said, nevertheless, I want to support him in some way, even though he's not in my district. I'm not in his district. And they just said, well, thanks for calling because we get so many negative calls. But that did not help me to figure out how to support him, even though I'm not in the district.
Right, right. Well, one of the things that you asked about how you can get involved, and I was thinking about this earlier, like, you know, a lot of people have time constraints and that kind of thing. So I was thinking about, you know, maybe doing it within the groups that you already participate in, your choir or, you know, different clubs or something like that, and just start like a little political arm of that, you know, as a group, you know, 20 people, we're going to, you know, divide up, you know, on Monday and Tuesday you call, on Tuesday and Wednesday, you know, we call, and so that the office is just flooded. It really makes a difference. It really does make a difference. Those phone calls and stuff, they've been having news articles and stuff, and, you know, about it, because so many people are out and participating, because normally people don't. So don't think it doesn't make a difference, because it really does. The remarks that Trump made about President Obama tapping his phone, I think that the only reason that he did that was to deflect some of the news cycle away from him.
Another smoke screen. Yes. Another smoke screen.
And I'm wondering, though, whether it's actionable, you know, legally actionable, because it is slanderous. You know, he knows that, it can't be proven to be true. It's definitely President Obama. I don't know what his plans are for post-presidency, but he certainly stands to make a lot of money if money was his thing, you know, doing speeches and engagements and things like that. So if this comment and this whole suspicion and all of this stuff is put out about, you know, him tapping phones and stuff and he didn't do it, and this man doesn't have any reason to believe that he, you know, did it, you know, it's malicious. And I'm really wondering whether there's going to be legal action that comes out of it, because he could potentially hurt President Obama's reputation and his ability to earn money. So that may have been something that, you know, one of his little rants that may get him into an awful lot of trouble. And there was one other point. I don't know if I answered it. I think you asked something else, or you mentioned something else that I didn't jot down.
What, the media, getting the media cooperate with each other, at least maybe 80-90% of them.
I wish the media had been doing what they're doing now. During I don't know whether people were taking him as a joke when he first started running, and remember how they weren't asking him any questions. They were just letting him go with, you know, they ask him one thing and he'd say something else, and just really not engaging in their, and not answering their questions or anything like that. Now they're really being, the ones that I've been watching occasionally, they're really being a lot tougher on him. As far as the press corps is concerned, the White House press corps is concerned, I think that the press secretary runs that whole thing. So although it's not, it's probably not in his best interest to do some of the things that he's doing in terms of not letting some in and that kind of stuff, I think it is something that they are allowed to do any way that they want to do it. So I don't think that there's anything to be done about that, except that he's also serving to make them even more determined to you know, do something about him. And they have sources of investigations and stuff, so I'm hoping that they will, you know, be feel slighted enough to come up with something that can actually get him impeached and out of there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that will tell.
All right. We've got another caller.
Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend
thank
Gloria.
You.
Yeah. Thank you, Sandy.
We got a caller. You're welcome. Call it 314-381. Would give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment, please.
Well, I'm calling from the state of Missouri. Can you hear me?
We can,
yes.
Yeah, I'm calling from the state of Missouri. My name's Pianchi. No, I was a supporter of Trump. Have been since day one. And the fact that people saying that Obama didn't tap their phones by going by way of the FBI. Well, Israel taps phones all the time, and there's many private agencies out there that tap phones. And the information could have been given directly to the DNC. There's an article in the newspaper where it talks about how Israel do those things. So just because through get a court order went through the FBI, a private agency could have done the same thing and passed the information on to the DNC. And what I was going to ask, and you mentioned about the press. Well, if he don't want to entertain questions from the press, he don't have to. If you ever read any press articles, they always start off and said how they validate what they're talking about. It's always some unnamed source. Well, who is this source? And is this source someone that's working for the State Department that's left over from the previous administration that's leaking information? So I just want to put that up. And also, what do you think about school choice? School choice would help tremendously inner city children. When blacks are polled and surveyed, they overwhelmingly and had for years said that they wanted to have school choice and also have vouchers in order to go along with that. It's just a shame that when you have accountable parents that's doing the right thing about making sure that their child is keeping their head in their books and their nose to the grindstone, but they have to be confined in an environment where other parents don't do likewise with their children. That is totally a shame. You might want to respond on that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for your comments. The thing about the schools, that issue, that's a local issue because of, you know, different circumstances wherever, you know, may be different. You know, public schools are different in one location than they are in others, so there are different news, needs. But there is a U.S. Department of Education, but that type of those type of decisions are made at the local level, like the school board and that kind of stuff, or at the state level.
Well, could I add to that, please, real quick? Just as the U.S. Department of Education put a mandate on schools to provide a bathroom for those who have these gender discrepancies, they can also put a mandate, if these districts want to continue to get these supplemental funds, that they allow parents to have choice too. So it's just basically a mandate. You want the federal dollar, you want the carrot, you got to open your things up along the dictums that we wish.
Okay, thank you for your comment. One other thing I wanted to mention that we talked about before, in terms of what we can do next, we were discussing at one point the process in which we elect the president and what it would take to change that process, or whether or not, you know, callers actually think there is a need to change it from the electoral college process that we're using today. And one of the methods to make that change is to have a constitutional amendment passed in both houses of the United States Congress, and then after that, they would have to the amendment would have to be sent to the individual states, and 3/4 of the state legislatures would have to agree to accept that constitutional amendments before any change could be affected that way. And, of course, that's a very long, slow, drawn-out process. The other way, which I was very happy and optimistic in seeing, because I do personally believe that we need to make a change in the way that we do that, is the pact that that the states are considering. It takes 270 to elect the president, and as we were saying before, the population determines the number of congressional districts, and that determines the number of electors that each states have, along with the you know, the senators that they have, which is constant for all of the states. But at any rate, I checked before the call, and there are 270 needed right now. There have been enough states who have passed this this measure to amount to 165 electoral votes. Which means that all that would be needed is enough states with votes totaling 105, at least 105 electoral votes, to also pass it. And what would happen, in effect, is for these states that have passed this this pact, when on the night of the presidential election, whoever the person is who has the majority of votes for that state would get all of the electoral votes. So I would be really curious as what callers think about that. And that's in terms, if you do agree or think that the second idea is a good idea, and there's a website where you can kind of keep track of this as well. It's called, the site is nationalpopularvote.com, and that's all together, nationalpopularvote.com, and they have you know, keep information on the current status. And to, if you do agree with that, the way to help that along, if you are in one of those states that has not yet voted, would be to you know, to lobby your state representatives the same way, call in their offices. The office staffs are usually small, you know, so, you know, you have, like any other office, you have your daily things that you do. So anytime you have, like, your office taken over by, you know, just all of these phone calls. That's going to be the topic of conversation. As soon as the congressman or the senator walks in, that's all everybody who works there is going to be telling them about. So they're going to be lobbied by their own staff as well as, you know, everybody else, your constituents. So I'm just curious as whether callers have any opinion about that and which way we should go. Anybody? Sandy?
Well, we got two already on the line.
Okay.
Reverend Glow would like to speak.
Okay.
Or was it Planty?
Yeah, that's me. No, I'm...
Okay.
I think that the way the Constitution is constructed is well enough. Small states have equal power as these large states. You wouldn't want Texas, California, and Florida running away with elections. But even if you did do that, I think they should amend the 14th Amendment, too, so that you don't have these anchor babies, especially with these illegals. If you're illegal, you have a baby, that baby is illegal also. When you go, the child go with you. Of course, we don't want to separate the child from the parent. Do away with that portion of the 14th Amendment. Revise it, whereas anchor babies is just a thing of the past.
You know, I just have that. That really kind of just bothers me a little bit when we talk about people being illegal, when the only true Americans, if that's the term we want to use, are the Native Americans or the Indians that were here. So everyone else came from somewhere else, and to call people illegals, I take offense to that because they're just as welcome here as anybody else. Anybody should be welcome here. This is a melting point, pot of all people. So, you know, we have no rights to title people illegal and or anything like that. I think that's demeaning and derogatory toward people.
Well, if you don't have a visa to come into the country, then you are committing a crime. Just as if you go to any other country.
We didn't have a visa when we came over here.
Well, ma'am, we're talking about 2017 now. We're talking about 2017.
It doesn't matter.
Well, it does because the U.S. The U.S. Constitution says presently you have to have a visa to come into this country. According to U.S. Statutes, Title 8, aliens and immigrants. And Mexico is like that. Their executive can put you out. It says the executive shall have the exclusive power to compel any foreigner who's remaining he may deem inexpedient to abandon the national territory immediately and without the necessity of previous legal action. That means you can't go to court and stop it the way we see these undocumented. Well, it's not undocumented. They're illegal. They're tied up our courts with those cases.
They're not illegal, but go ahead. Terminology.
The interesting thing about the immigration situation in Texas in particular is if you look at like the older maps of Texas, a large part of what is considered now to be Texas used to be Mexico. So you have a lot of people who have relatives, ancestors who have always lived where they currently live. And at one point, I think Texas was like there was a compromise made between the United States territory and Mexico to leave Texas as an independent territory, which is kind of why they're still kind of I forgot there are Texans on the call, but it's a slightly still not quite back in the union feel that you have I lived in Dallas for a couple of years. Out there, but at any rate, that's why when you hear a lot of advocates for immigration issues say that people didn't cross the border crossed them, because after I forgot what conflict happened, then the United States gradually just annexed more and more of that area, of that landmass that used to be Mexico, as well as Arizona and New Mexico.
California.
So,
and California as well.
California, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Mexico lost the war.
Can we talk about
that? Mexico lost the war, and they signed a treaty called the Treaty of Guadalupe. If you want to use that same presence, then Israel need to get out of Palestine, right?
I'm not really an expert on the Middle East or anything, or expert on anything, but I appreciate your comments.
All right, we got about 13 left, and so, Linda, if there was any points that you wanted to make, if anyone's listening and you have a point that you want to share, make sure that you call in, 516-531-9819. If you're already on the call, make sure you hit 1. Let me know that you want to talk live on air. So this is Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We're talking about politics in America. We're talking about politics in 2017 under our new administration. We've got one more caller, and that is 619-884. You want to give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment, please.
Yeah, how you doing? This is Ali calling from San Diego, California. And I just wanted to I just wanted to say, you know, I've been listening. I just wanted to say the Most High God, He going to show us who all is illegal real soon here, you know. And ain't nobody illegal that He created. See, and I think that this world get too caught up in what they didn't set as laws. Just because it's a law don't make it right and don't make it real and don't make the name proper for whatever law they make. You know, when you're dealing with God, when you're dealing with God's children, you know, to me, and I ain't disrespecting nobody, and this is my opinion for me, when you get to messing with God's children, you know, ain't no law or no politician or nothing got anything to do with us, because we ain't of this world. So we able to stand up and fight against whatever it is that they try to set against us. You know, when they get to messing with them kids in them schools and talking about bathrooms and different things like that, we all must know. You know, take your kid out of school and teach them yourself. That's all I want to say.
Thank you, Ali. Appreciate you. Very much. So, Linda, we got 10 minutes left. You want to bring some closure to some of the things that you were saying? And I do want to go back over a couple of those websites that you gave, too. So
okay.
I'm going to do that real quick. So to find out who your representative or your senator, you can call 202-224-3121, or you can go on the computer, congress.gov.
Correct.
And then the tracking information was on some of the bills, I believe, that was up for a vote. That website is nationalpopularvote.com. So those
Sandy,
are the three resources that.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was just going to say the congress.gov site, you can go on there and do searches to find out. That's where you can go to find out about, do searches about the bills and resolutions that your congressman has introduced and that kind of thing. That last website, the nationalpopularvote.com site, is the website that is keeping information about the process that's currently going on to try to reach some type of agreement independently of the Constitution among the states, so that the popular vote would go to the electoral votes for that state would all go to the person who won the popular vote in that state.
Okay.
And I just wanted to mention again, I would like to ask people to kind of play around with the idea of using the organizations that they already belong to as a means, you know, extending politics into that, if it's the type of organization where you are, you know, in agreement, you know, so you of one accord.
maybe use that to keep each other informed about different things that are going on. I don't know how much more time we have. Back to the first, I think, conversation we had when we were talking about the food issue and the labeling issue that was going on and the bill that was passed. And so now that is going to be implemented by the Secretary of Agriculture that Mr. Trump appoints. So the regulations will be produced, you know, from that standpoint. But in terms of what we can do, once again, to affect change and to make sure our voices are heard, is just not buy food that's not properly labeled. If we don't want to buy genetically modified food, then my suggestion is to just buy food that's properly labeled so that we know that it's not, you know, and, you know, just take it from that. And it's just like when I became a vegetarian, it was very hard for me to find food when I was hungry in the grocery store. But as more and more people are starting to pay more attention to what they eat, you know, now more and more is available, you know, so the system responds to you. I mean, they're not going to tell you you're making an impact because they want the status quo to remain as it is. But believe me, when those women got in the street marching, which reminds me, tomorrow I think is the second phase of that group of protests, and I think they want women to. I meant to look it up before we got online, but I think they want women to wear red if you have to go someplace, basically not go anywhere, don't spend money, or if you have to spend money, buy locally, just tomorrow. And if everybody did that, that would make a big impact just that one day. And it would put us in a position, you know, so that people would just listen to what your concerns are and going forward. So just stay the course.
There is always,
you know,
power in the dollar. Yes.
It is.
Yeah, because we're not helpless. You know, we have a lot of power. So you've really given us a lot of food for thought and a lot of action steps that we can take and to get involved. And it doesn't appear that it would take a lot of time. You know, it's not labor intensive. You want to check up on things, you know, your bills and your resolutions. You gave us a website. We don't know who our leaders, our politicians are. We have a phone number we can call, you know. And the most important thing that I get from this is making sure that we vote in the off elections is, you know, kind of how
yes.
we look at them. And not just thinking that the only time our vote really counts is the major elections, because they don't. More things happen in between elections, and that's how the
yes.
leadership is actually formed. Is that correct?
Yes, and I mean, it can be. And if enough people are, you know, enough people are dissatisfied with what the president has been doing, then they may also vote against the Republican counterparts at that level, you know, in those elections and stuff. So in 2 years, it's conceivable that, I don't know what the numbers are on the Senate, because it's just one-third of the Senate that's up for reelection, but the House could conceivably be Democratic again, which would make it harder for some of the legislation that, you know, they want to push through to take place. I forgot to mention Obamacare, but, you know, they did introduce a bill, I think, today or yesterday on that, but it's not, from what I'm reading on it, I don't see how it's going to go anywhere. That's just my opinion, because of the complexity
okay.
of it. And a lot of people don't realize that they are actually receiving benefits from Obamacare, maybe through Medicaid or through some of the subsidies with Medicare and different other aspects of it. Anyway, just the news media online especially, they seem to be doing a pretty good job of keeping us informed right now of what they're finding out that may be something that's not the right thing that's going on. So, you know, this is a good time to, plug into some of those and for both different votes and things that are coming up so that you know when to put the pressure on. But it's definitely doable. And, you know,
yeah.
I actually, there's an image that I'm going to post on your page tomorrow that I got from somewhere in Africa, but it's an image of a mule that's tied to a plastic chair, and it says something about sometimes the appearances of being tied down, serve the purposes of keeping you tied down when the mule could just walk on away and drive his chair with him. But I'll post it. I'll post the picture because the picture is worth 1,000 words.
Okay, it's that mental chain, that mental chain. And so, thank you again. You have been tremendous, and all the callers that came on and shared your opinion, your views, who had questions and just were actively involved, we thank you as well. If you have
thank
any
you
show
much.
Ideas or you would like to get in contact with me, you may do so by emailing me at lifeloveandwellness@gmail.com. Linda, you want to give a contact information out?
Sure. My best contact, I guess, is through my website, lindapsamuel.com, and it has a link there to my books, The Return of the African Diaspora series. I started a blog that I haven't been writing recently, but I will continue. And I'm also in the process of working on a Black History Word Search book, which is inspired by the museum in Washington, Smithsonian. It kind of traces our pathway from African to African American through use of the words describing the people, places, and things that have, helped us or impacted us along our transition. So be on the lookout for that. And I thank you so much for having me again, Sandy. I've enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed
talking
to you.
Thank you. It's my pleasure because we got to learn. We got to know what's going on. But we're out of time, everybody. I will see you next week, same time. Until then, be well.
Aloha.